Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Today is the May 14th, 2013 episode of It's All About Food. And, you know, when I hear that opening to It's All About Food, it just makes me happy. And I hope it makes you happy, too. I get to talk about all these things that I love to talk about in a short amount of time. And there are a few things I really want to talk about before we get started with my first guest today. I've been talking about the swinging gourmets. You've heard about the swinging gourmets. My partner, Gary DiMattei, and I are making musical theater look really fun and healthy, singing about plant-powerful foods and why they're so great to eat and how much fun you can have getting healthy and doing the right thing for the environment and certainly being gentle on the animals. Well, we just got a pay it forward loan from the Pollination Project. Check out the pollinationproject.org. They are seeding projects that change the world. It's springtime, and what a better time than to seed projects that change the world. And if you have a concept or an idea and you need a little financial help, the Pollination Project may be something for you, because they're really helping a lot of people with small loans, but things with grants, actually. Most of their assistance is with grants that they're giving away to people with really great ideas. And I've been a recipient 2 times, so I'm really grateful to the Pollination Project. And another thing I wanted to mention, here in the greatest city in the world, New York City, in one of our boroughs, Queens, the borough that I live in, the very first public school 244, is offering vegetarian meals, only vegetarian meals, for breakfast and lunch. It's in conjunction with the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food. This is a really, really exciting project, and it's happening in my hometown. Things to be excited about, definitely. And now we're going to continue with my first guest today. Really fun. Rip Esselstyn. He's a native of Cleveland, Ohio. He attended the University of Texas where he was an all-American swimmer. After spending 10 years as one of the world's top professional triathletes, Rip became a firefighter at Station 2 in Austin, Texas. In 2009, he joined Whole Foods Market as a healthy eating partner, and today he travels year-round telling the world about the benefits of eating plant-strong with the Engine 2 diet. He lives in Austin, Texas, with his wife and 2 children, and he has a new book, My Beef with Meat. Welcome to It's All About Food, Rip.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yes. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm in New York City right now, getting ready to launch the book, which actually officially comes out tomorrow.
Which is actually today, because this show is airing tomorrow.
There you go.
But I can't see it. In the world of cyberspace, time has no meaning.
Yes.
And you have a book signing at Whole Foods down in Tribeca?
I do. I have a book signing at Tribeca tomorrow night.
May 14th, Tuesday.
Yeah, yes. And then I've got another book signing at another Whole Foods in New Jersey on Wednesday. And I just got done doing the Don Imus show this morning, which was quite an experience.
I remember listening to Don when I was a tiny tot. And he's still kicking, and so am I.
He is. And you know what? Did you know that Don Imus is all plant-based?
You know, I heard that.
Yeah.
And has that affected his style at all?
No, not one iota.
His broadcasting style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember Imus in the morning. I would wake up and go to junior high school with Imus in the morning. That was a long time ago. Yes. Anyway, but let's talk about you. We don't want to talk about Imus anymore. So you're changing the world, Rip, and I thank you for that.
Well, you know what? Well, we're all helping to change the world. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been doing this almost about as long, maybe longer, maybe shorter, I don't know. I've started on this path around 1973 when I didn't want to eat meat, and then in 84 I went complete vegetarian, eliminating fish. Of course, I didn't realize that scaly vegetable wasn't a vegetable until around 1984.
Yeah.
And then in 1988, I went completely vegan, and so it's been a quarter century for me, seeing a lot of great changes, some frustrating things happening, but something I keep repeating to myself and reminding myself, the questions have not changed.
Right.
And you just have to keep answering them with a fresh, happy spirit, no matter how frustrating it can seem from time to time.
Well, you know, that's exactly why I wrote this book, because, you know, my first book, The Engine 2 Diet Book, came out in about 4 years ago. And since then, I've been touring around the country, talking, giving presentations and talking to people about eating a whole food, plant-strong diet. And it's amazing how the same questions just kept popping up. And so I wrote this book to be really, in some ways, the definitive guide that kind of busts all the myths, answers all the questions in a very in a friendly way that will basically give people the courage to not only own their health, but also stand up for this lifestyle.
Well, it's important, and it's important for this information to come out in lots of different forms. Yours is coming out in a bright fire engine red form.
Yeah.
And it probably appeals to a certain demographic, but to change the world, we need this message told over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over in many different sizes, shapes, and colors. And a lot of people need to hear it over and over again. One time, unfortunately, isn't it? Some friends of my parents, they've been coming to lectures that I've been organizing for decades. And finally, the husband of the couple just fell upon the China study. Even though he had heard Dr. Campbell speak, he had heard your dad, Dr. Esselstyn, speak. And it took a long time. But then all of a sudden, click. And he is eating great, never looked better. He's in his just approaching 80 and looks fabulous. It's great that you're out there talking all over the place. The question is, how do you do that? How do you travel and talk?
Well, I'm really fortunate in that one of the things that happened is after my book came out in 2007, I got approached by the CEO of Whole Foods Market, John Mackey, to partner with Whole Foods Market as part of their healthy eating initiative that they launched in 2010 to educate not only their 70,000 team member base, but also their millions of customers about what they could do for optimal health. And so I actually retired from firefighting a little over 3.5 years ago to partner with Whole Foods Market, and now I go around to Whole Foods Market stores all over the United States, Canada, and the UK, talking to team members and customers about eating a whole food plant-strong diet.
And what do you eat on the road?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate in that usually wherever I go, there's a Whole Foods
market,
so it's pretty easy. But, you know, whenever I pack my bags, I'm prepared. So I always have cereal, I always have fruit, I always have a sandwich or two. I find that one of the things that travels really well are tacos or wraps or burritos. Just put them in some foil. But I can make it work anywhere. I honestly can. You just have to ask for what you want. You have to look at the menu and figure out what you can make work. And then be nice and say, listen, is there any way you can do this, you know, this pizza on a whole grain crust without cheese and just throw on extra veggies and extra marinara sauce? And typically they're happy to do it, I find that's the least of my worries is how to do it on the road. But a lot of people, it can be a stumbling block, but they just have to learn a couple little tricks of the trade and they're good to go.
I could call it an excuse.
Yeah.
People look for excuses. But I like your answer. It's something that applies to most things in life. Be nice and polite. And you can get very far.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Like this morning, I'm at this hotel in New York, and I just went down and I got the oatmeal that made sure it was made with water and not milk. And on the side, I got 1.5 bananas, strawberries, and blueberries, and that was it. It was great.
Yeah, you have to know what questions to ask, though, because some people wouldn't even realize that some oatmeal is prepared with milk.
Right.
Although I think in most hotels in the United States, oatmeal is prepared with milk. I mean, with water, unless it's from one of those mixes. But I remember I've traveled all over the world, and you cannot be shy, but you have to be polite. And I was I was in Seoul, Korea, and they had this beautiful spread at a Ritz-Carlton of foods, and they had oatmeal made with milk, and I had to explain to them it's better to make it with water.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's it is amazing how, you know, if you're – another thing I tell people is don't be shy. Like, so many people are like, oh, I'm afraid. I don't want to you know, create a stir. I don't want to make waves. I don't want to be a nuisance. And it's like, listen, we're talking about your health right now. It's like it's your number one asset is your health, and you need to protect it with every fiber in your being. So be polite and ask for what you want, but don't feel like you're putting anybody out one iota, because we all know that moderation doesn't work, right? I mean, the moderation...
Oh, I love that. You wrote that in your book,
right?
And
right.
I was exclamation points all over the place.
Yeah.
I can't stand moderation.
Right, so I've got a whole chapter on moderation and how we have to lose the moderation mentality. And, you know, we have somewhere between 10 trillion to 100 trillion cells in our body. And when you have a little bit of chicken, a little bit of fish, a little bit of, you know, low-fat dairy, before you know it, I mean, your cells, they don't know moderation. Heart disease doesn't know moderation. Cancer doesn't know moderation. And so I like, you know, let's go full kale into being healthy and jump in. And do it with a lot of gusto, and then we're going to see amazing results. Your body's going to respond. You're going to have increased energy, sleep better. You're going to lose weight. All your numbers are going to come down, as opposed to, you know, taking the baby steps approach. And I think that, like, for example, what Mark Bittman is doing with, you know, Vegan Before Six is a, you know, it's good to get more people on board. But I think, unfortunately, a lot of people, they're still not going to see the transformative results that they could see if they were to throw themselves whole kale into it.
I really agree, and I believe in the all or nothing approach with so many things. I think it's easier when you say no to something rather than sometimes to something.
Yeah,
it's just that much harder to not do it at all.
Yeah, and you're also, things are very black and white. There's no gray area. You're not continually feeding your palate with these foods that you're going to continue to crave. So it's just, it's much easier when you just decide, okay, this is the way it's going to be, right? I mean, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes, and you just stop, right? You just say, all right, I'm not going to do dairy. I'm not going to do animal products. I'm just going to stop.
Now, you're seeing this all over the place, but in the United States, where the biggest killer is heart disease.
Yeah.
And we know that in like 999 cases, these heart disease cases are preventable, and a lot of them are reversible.
Yeah.
Your dad wrote Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. Is that the title of the book?
Yes,
Preventing Heart Disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've probably heard a lot of stories where people have totally turned around. There was an article in the New York Times yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a story about some guy who believes the heart disease is in his DNA.
Yes.
And at the end of the story, they talk about, okay, so he's given up red meat, but his wife is making him some sort of tandoori chicken dish, the feathered vegetable.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't know. I just read it this morning. And that's exactly why I've written the book, because people – they just don't know. They don't know, for example, that chicken has just as much cholesterol as red meat, that most types of fish have more cholesterol than red meat or chicken. People don't know that one glass of whole milk has the same amount of saturated fat as four slices of bacon. They don't know that olive oil is the most concentrated, you know, source of calories on the planet, and that it is contributing to heart disease because it's 15% saturated fat. So people, they just, unfortunately, they don't know. As a country, we are nutritionally illiterate. And so this is what my beef with meat is all about. It's about getting people, you know, up to snuff.
Well, I think we've been nutritionally illiterate for most of our existence. It's just recently that we're really starting to understand what's going on at a micro level. People have had a few buzzwords for the last 100 years, but they don't know what they're talking about. No one knew. We're just starting to figure it out.
Well, but you know what? But on the other end, you know, all we got to do, it's a simple answer. It's just eat whole plant-based foods. I mean, it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. And there's just, I think the issue is there's so much incredible amounts of confusion and distractions right now that people don't know what to believe.
Yep, they're confused. Yeah. They're confused.
Yeah.
And RIP is here to save them. You don't just save lives in the firehouse, but now you're saving lives with food.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, speaking of which, you know, the second half of the book, another 140 Engine 2 Plant Strong recipes.
Now, there's part of that confusion, the little bits that people hear are so frustrating and damaging. So people will hear about soy.
Yeah.
They'll hear about oil. They'll hear about nuts. And they hear all different kinds of things. And you give some clarification on all of those.
Yes, yes. For example, like, you know, with the soy, I mean, a lot of people are scared that soy is the devil incarnate. And I try and let people know that, listen, if you really want to, you know, protect yourself from, estrogen and what can go on with hormones, then if you're a female, then are we still on?
I'm here. Okay, I hear you. Yeah, there are some funny noises there. I'm not sure what they were.
You know, the number one thing we can do is drop dairy. I mean, the lactating cow has 33 times the amount of estrogen levels than a cow that's not lactating. And then, you know, a lot of women are, in America, unfortunately, are overweight. And we know that, you know, when you're overweight, that increases estrogen levels. And exercise helps. But, you know, natural soy, for example, like tofu, tempeh, edamame, these are healthful. They can actually inhibit the amount of estrogen that's absorbed. So there's just a lot of confusion. I agree that the soy, the processed soy products that are out there are just basically, you know, a bunch of junk with fillers, and you know they bring out the what's called the isolated soy proteins, which have the potential to be harmful. So we need to be careful with the processed soy, no doubt.
Yes, and getting soy organic.
Yes.
And not genetically modified. What a nightmare that is. And a lot of people don't realize when we talk about genetically modified, and when we talk about soy, most of the soy grown in this country is grown to feed animals. It's not even grown to feed people. And when people eat those animals, they're getting genetically modified organisms.
Right, good point.
Through soy and other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mentioned at the beginning of this program, perhaps you heard that here in Queens, New York, the first public school is going vegetarian. They're serving breakfast and lunch vegetarian meals and nothing else. If parents want their children to have animal foods, they can bring them in their lunch box. And I think this is great. But when you mentioned dairy, this plan is including dairy products.
Well,
and I would always say get rid of first.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm actually as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go visit that school.
Oh, wow! Wonderful.
Yeah. So I'll have to let him. I'll have to give him a little talk on the dairy.
Lighten up on the cheese.
Yeah. Let him know that cheese is the number one source of saturated fat in the American diet, and yeah, how we get so addicted to it. But for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is a great part of the world. People don't think about Queens as much. When they think about New York City, they think about Manhattan. And Manhattan, of course, is an amazing place. But Queens is part of what makes Manhattan tick. And there's so much diversity and great food right here. You can visit the whole world by visiting Queens, New York.
Well, I look forward to it. I don't think I've ever been there.
Oh, well, I can tell you where to eat. Are they going to feed you, or are you going to Whole Foods?
No. I think I'm going to have lunch there.
Okay. Well, my very favorite place, it's in Flushing, and it's on Main Street, is called the New Bodai.
Okay.
The New Bodai. It's vegetarian. It's vegan Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm out for a treat, that's what I like to get.
I'll remember that one.
Now, people go a little nutty. I didn't even mean to make that pun. But when we talk about fats and they start hearing that they shouldn't be consuming oil and they should lighten up on the nuts, what kind of reaction do you get and what do you tell them?
Well, I tell people that the best way to get your healthy fats are from whole plant-based sources. And, you know, America is so overweight right now, they don't need to be pounding the olive oil or even doing, you know, a ton of nuts. And I think we talked a little bit about olive oil, but with the nuts, nuts, I tell people, if you're going to have one handful, that's fine, but just know that one small handful is about 200 calories, and it's about 80% fat. So if you go to Costco and you get a big drum of nuts and you have it lying around your house and you have four or five handfuls a day, all of a sudden that's 1,000 calories that you've just, dropped down your mouth, and close to 800 of those calories are coming straight from fat. And, even with nuts have anywhere between 10 to 20% of their calories coming from saturated fat. And that's one of the reasons why my father, with his program, doesn't ask his patients not to do nuts, because he doesn't want them to put one iota of gasoline to the fire that might ignite, their heart disease. But most people don't know, for example, that, kale is 10% fat, that oats are 16% fat, that soybeans are 40% fat, that strawberries are right around 6% fat, and we can get all the fat we need from whole plant-based sources, and we're staying away from trans fats, for the most part saturated fats, and we're really concentrating on the polyunsaturated fats. So, good stuff.
Yeah, and people talk about food combining sometimes. You don't talk about it in your book, or at least I didn't catch it. But what people get confused about is all plant foods are protein, carbohydrate, and fat for the most part. And the body knows what to do with all of them.
Yeah.
We don't have to eat them separately. We eat a bean, it digests the protein, it digests the carbohydrates. You eat greens, it digests the fat and the protein. Our bodies are smart.
Yeah, no, they're brilliant. Actually, I have a whole chapter, I think it's chapter 3, is on how plant proteins are completely complete. And, for a number of reasons, people think that plant proteins aren't complete, and you have to do the food combining, as Francis Moore-LePage
talked about. Another myth that really stuck in our minds.
Yeah, yeah. But, plant proteins contain all the 8 essential amino acids. And they're at a proportion and composition that actually is very friendly on the body, unlike animal proteins that leach calcium from your bones, promote systemic inflammation, harsh on the kidneys and the liver, tumor and cancer promoters. The protein you're getting in plants is like a perfectly aged red wine, and animal protein is more like Everclear.
You also talk about the Mediterranean and paleo diets, the two big diets that are getting probably more press than the one diet that should be getting press, although the plant diet is definitely getting its due in the media. But thank you for talking about those two diets.
Well, I mean, yeah, and the Mediterranean myth is it's just that, it's a myth. I mean, for some reason now, Americans are under the impression if they drink a little bit of red wine they're doing olive oil and Greek yogurt, that they're doing the Mediterranean thing. And the reality is the Mediterranean diet was kind of based off the island of Crete post-war in the 1950s, and it was primarily fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and beans. And if you look at the Mediterranean Sea, there's 20 different countries that border the Mediterranean. Each one has a different diet. And you go there today, and what you'll find is that Spain, Italy, and Portugal, you have over 50% of the people are overweight or obese. And then you go to Greece, which people like epitomize as the Mediterranean, and they are now the 16th fattest country on the planet, and three-quarters of their people are overweight or obese. So the Mediterranean diet, the original one, was back in the 50s, and it was based on what we're doing here today.
And then we're all romancing about the Paleolithic diet, and we don't even know what was going on back then. We have clues, but it's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and the thing about the Paleo is, you talk to any kind of like an archaeological scientist today, and they'll tell you that probably close to 80% of Paleo people, their diets were whole plant-based foods. I think it's time that we evolve away from meat, for a number of reasons. I mean, it destroys the earth. It exploits the water. It's the carbon footprint that we're laying down by eating a meat-centric diet is four times bigger than if we're eating a plant-based one. You know, if we can evolve past meat, we'd be a much kinder people to the animals that we share the planet with. And then lastly, I mean, I think it's time that we evolve past meat so we can, as a country, have the type of health that we all deserve. I mean, it could raise this country's standard of living to a whole nother level. And if we, as you know, I mean, if we keep this up, we are going to bury ourselves because of this healthcare crisis.
Yeah, why don't more people care about this? I don't know, but it is definitely changing. I wanted to note you have a website, engine2diet.com.
Yes.
That's engine2diet.com. Lots of recipes, and you've got a blog, and your events are listed there.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we've been throwing these weekend-long, we call them Farms to Forks retreats, and we have three more left this year, and we bring in the best and the brightest in the business, and we teach people, we educate people, and then we teach people how to actually incorporate it into their lives.
And it's fun and delicious, everybody.
Yes, it is.
I wanted to give a mention to my friend and yours, Gene Stone, who helped you put together my beef with meat.
Yes.
And the last time I saw him, I have to say this was at the Veggie Pride Parade in Manhattan. He came up to my partner, Gary, and I, and said we were the best vegan chefs he knew. Now, I don't know if he says that to all the vegans he knows, but we appreciated that.
Yes, yes.
We love making food.
Everything, you know, I tell people, I don't know if we're done yet or not. But
we can keep going another minute or so.
Yeah. But no, I have ripples of hope, though. I have so many ripples of hope for this country because I feel like we can't get too much worse at this point. And, and you know, we've got the former fast food president, Clinton, that's now, you know, eating plant-based. We have Forks Over Knives, which has now become the number one selling and viewed documentary in this country for almost 2 years. So that to me is very telling that these conversations are happening at, you know, dinner tables all across the country. We got pro athletes from, you know, the NFL, the NBA, to ultra distance runners that are learning the benefits of plant-based nutrition. And, you know, we got this school in Queens. We have tobacco crops that are being converted to chickpea crops because, you know, the demand for hummus is so large now. So
I love chickpeas. Let's give a shout out to chickpeas, and garbanzo flour is particularly awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Good old chickpea.
Yes, well, there's a lot of hope, and thank you for being part of it. I mean, everyone, just take a look at this man, Rip Esselton, and you'll see how good this diet is. You are a stunning example.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you, and I hope to meet you sometime. All the best with your book, and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to talk with Kathy Stevens. It'll be her third time back on the show, and we'll be talking about Catskill Animal Sanctuary and some lovely stories with animals. So stay with me. We'll be right back.